Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here, 713-780-3776. So some good news, some good stuff baseball-wise, Lance. Like you said, the Rockets were looking at opening up tomorrow morning.
But they're not going to now.
They're not going to now.
Phase two, they're going to follow the phase two, which is gyms, on May 17th. So yeah. They're going to wait until mid-May.
That makes sense. And have you seen the Taco Tuesday thing that Tillman is doing?
With the players? I did. I saw the video. That's really cool. The Rockets are feeding first responders with tacos.
And not only that, but all his employees. If they come in on a Tuesday, he's giving them five-person meals to his employees and to first responders. And it's really, really a neat thing. I mean, as much money as dude has lost on this thing to open it up and say, you know what, we're just going to keep on losing here and feed as many people as possible. That's really cool. I mean, because he's taking a beating, and I think undeservedly so. Dude is taking a real beating, and so it's good to see that he's cheap and he's heartless, all this crap. I know him a little bit. I don't know him all that well, but I know him a little bit, and it's just not true. Just not true. Does he run a tighter ship than some NBA teams? Probably. But I think that's his background in business. That's how he runs the restaurants. That's how you make money in restaurants. So in the front office, you're going to be, and he was criticized. Our guy sent out a tweet, and Tillman shot back at him about how he was, cheap in the front office and whatnot. And, hey, that's just how he runs. That's how Les ran the business as well. Les was tight in the front office now. Tight. And Les was considered at the time, until Jim Crane came along, as the best owner that we had here. But there were, you can ask Joel about the way that Les ran that ship. And, Tillman runs it much the same way, like a businessman would run it. As economically as possible. But for him to be doing that, I think big ups. What Alex Bregman is doing, big ups. Raising money and doing that for anybody who is stepping up the way that these guys are, stepping up and not caring about their own money and taking care of business for other people, that's great. That is really good.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add there. I think it's good to take care of the people who work for you. I know Tillman has some other stuff in terms of with people who've built his hotels. He's had some issues that are other than this, business-wise, that are other than just, he's getting killed on by certain people about – he's got tremendous expenses. There's no question about that. But I don't know. We'll see how he does. I don't know him, and I know that there are people who are on the other side of the Tillman. Other than your opinion, there's a lot on the other side of that one too, who are contractors who didn't get paid for things and stuff like that. They're not as happy with him, and that's regardless of all the pandemic stuff. This is before then. So I think Tillman has the good side, but I think there's some other stuff that's not as friendly about him out in the public. It's well known.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that stuff.
I'm just going off that I read that was in the paper.
Yeah, I don't know. on. I do know that hopefully we get back, and you know, we can open up the restaurants. We can. Did you see that the Greater Business Houston guy says he thinks that 10% of our restaurants won't reopen? Will not reopen.
Yes, that is in line with what restaurant people think. It's going to be a higher. Well, restaurant people believe it's going to be a much higher percent are not still in business by August. They believe by August there will be closer to 20 to 25% that are done.
That are done.
That's a ton. That is a ton when you think about it. And they're having to figure out, because 25% is not going to cut it. They're not going to be able to. They're not going to be able to make it in terms of being able to pay rent and all that. They're set up. I mean, they're set up for capacity or near capacity so that they can. Now, a lot of companies didn't have the to-go business they have now, but that's typically, when I talk to people, it's anywhere from 10 to 20% of their normal business. So they're still going to be anywhere from 80 to 90% off. So now when you throw in 25% capacity, you're still going to be dealing from a position of being way, way behind, even if you keep doing your to-go stuff and things like that. So your costs will be a little bit lower because you obviously can't employ as many people. That's the problem. Getting to 50% capacity would be a really big deal. It wouldn't – I don't know that it would save all the restaurants, but if you could get to 50%, that would be much better. Or if Houstonians could learn to dine earlier where they could have multiple seatings from 5 to 10, you know, it would also help because you'd be able to get more people through a restaurant earlier.
Yeah. No. That would be totally sweet. I want to get it up to 100% soon this week. So you know what? That's what I want. 100%.
Yeah. That's going to be great, but they got to take the baby steps and get there. Yep. So hopefully getting from 25% to 50%. And did you see the timeline that they – now, you want to make sure it's safe, obviously, but the timeline for the vaccines are being pushed to potentially September or October if everything works out according to the science, which has been very, very positive. They're talking about being able to fast-track this to September, October. The fear is that have you properly checked this versus patient's health? You got to make sure that you don't that you're not going to create a massive disaster across the globe because there's issues with health. So they got to make sure that these vaccines are not going to have an adverse effect on people's health or on the future health of you know, children for pregnant mothers or mothers or whatever the case may be. But they're talking about not being 12 to 18 months away. They're talking about September to October right now.
Yeah. Well, I like to just rush it along and not have any safeguards or whatnot. Let's just, you know, so we can get back to our games, so we can go play, you know, golf and not have to just have one car.
You know what I don't need on this car? Brakes.
Right. I don't. You know what?
Dump those brakes out for me.
Hey, listen, are you going somewhere? Okay. Stop.
Well, be safe. I'm for safety.
You can run into a tree and stop. Okay.
I'm for
but
being
I gotta get
safe.
There. I got a tee time.
But
I got a tee time.
If we can crank it, if we can expedite this and still have safety, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's you know what? If we can, and if not, let's just get it out there anyway and let's go. Let's just get this vaccine out there and safety be damned. We got to make sure that we have a – so that we can play our games, Lance. So that we can play our games. That's the most important thing right now. 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5. Obviously, Earl Thomas, huge story today. Some folks that haven't heard yet, Earl Thomas, he and his brother in an Airbnb with some other women. And I got the impression that they were in the same bed. Didn't you get the impression from that, Lance?
Yes, that's what I got the impression.
She walked in
and saw them together.
Yeah, that was part of one story that I read, that they were both found naked in the same bed with other women.
Yeah. See, I'm close to my brother, I like to think, and I know you're close to Mike, your brother. That's a closeness that I just don't.
Nope.
Yeah. That's a kind of closeness that I just don't need. I don't want with my brother.
Yep. Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think we have to worry about that. We're good.
Yeah. So Nina, his wife, caught him on Snapchat and tracked him down through Snapchat and found him and put a gun to his head. And she took the magazine out, but however, there were still bullets in the chamber. So, and then she was chasing him around with a knife. So, I mean, it's a nice family story, you know, and Earl Thomas came back and said, you know, this stuff happens.
Now, the only time that
I've been... everywhere this stuff happens, Earl. Not everywhere.
I think the last time I was in the same bed with my brother is when I was 13, he was 11. We turned a ceiling fan on as high as it would go, and, I mean, it's flying. Then we would take, like, these... I don't know. It may have been a sports action figure or something like that, or maybe a He-Man. I don't know what it was. But we would throw it up over, like around the blades that were going 1,000 miles an hour so that it would land on top of the fan that was going on top of the blades that were going just as fast as they could go. And it would basically shoot it out like it was rubber bullets. It would just boom. And why we were doing something so dangerous, because that thing would fly out of there at 100 miles an hour. So we would get in a bed, cover up with the blanket, and try not to get hit by this thing that was coming at, you know, like I said, it was coming at us probably 80 miles an hour. That's the last time that I can recall. Why we did that, I don't know.
That's the last time you were in bed with your brother? See, not nearly as fun as the Thomas brothers.
No. Well, no. But that wasn't, you know, fun is relative. It changed. Right. Fun changes.
Well, and fun's got several faces. I'm sure Marcia caught you, and she didn't hold a gun to your head, right?
She wasn't happy that we were throwing, you know, action figures into a ceiling fan. No, she wasn't happy about that.
Because they would put, and then it would shoot off and put holes in the wall, which probably Larry wasn't happy about either.
Oh, I guarantee it would have broken a window if it hit a window, 100%. That's how fast it was coming out. Those weren't double pane windows. It 100% would have shattered the window. I did such stupid stuff when I was a kid. I mean, such dumb stuff.
No, but not as dumb as the Thomas brothers.
No, that's really dumb. I mean, I get it. You're young. Your best life. Pray for me. I get all that stuff. I get all that. That's fine. It just doesn't seem smart. It doesn't seem smart to me. You're going to get in trouble at some point. Freaky Deaky's already laid out all the rules. And one of the rules in this was you can't do it. Freaky Deaky laid out the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Early on in the pandemic, he laid them out.
No question. 713-780-3776. And here's the deal. I'm sure there might have been a little whiskey involved, Lance. I don't know. You don't know.
I mean, it
seems to make a party better. I know that.
So here's the thing. With Blackland Distillery, you get their bourbon or their rye. I'm going to speak to them just very specifically for a second. And they are so smooth. This bourbon is great for, and this is very rare, to find a bourbon that is smooth enough and creamy enough for an introductory drinker who's looking to start drinking bourbons with cocktails or straight or whatever the case may be. And yet it's complex enough for a veteran bourbon drinker who understands and has the palate of somebody who is looking for something distinctly original and sophisticated. It really is both, and that's why Blackland is one of the fastest-growing distilleries around the nation. They're based right here in the state of Texas, and they are getting bigger and bigger. They won an award for their vodka. The processes they use are highly advanced, and they take such great care in creating and crafting the most advanced spirits that you are going to find. The packaging is second to none. Just everything about it is high class, from the taste, the flavor, the exceptional packaging, everything about it. And if you haven't experienced it, you need to go to your local liquor store, and you're going to start seeing a pop-up a lot more here over the next month to 2 months. But if you don't have it, make sure that you're in line to get that. Go to your liquor store and say, I would like for you to start carrying Blackland Distillery. They have vodka, gin, bourbon, and rye. Distinctly original with such a smooth finish. Blackland Distillery.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Now, we got a caller earlier in the show, Lance, that when he first came on, I thought it was PD.
It sounded like Steve did.
Pardon me?
Yeah, it sounded like him. It sounded like him.
It sounded Steve like PD. Well, guess
yeah,
what? Guess what we got right now?
PD.
The real PD. I mean, the authenticated PD. Not some wannabe. Not some PD wannabe. What up, PD?
Hey, I got a gun story for you, man.
Okay. All right.
About 20 years ago, I was moving, and I lived over off Ritchie and Ella Boulevard. So my buddies were helping me move. You know, like in pickup trucks, that group. So we're moving. Like, it's the last load. And I've got a bunch of guns. I used to have a lot more. But anyway, my buddy thought my 9mm was unloaded.
Mm.
And he pointed it to the, like, you know, those sliding glass doors you got in an apartment? And he pulled the trigger. Well, there was a bullet in the chamber. And it shattered the window. And then I had, like, a little fence deal. It went through there. And thank God there wasn't nobody, like, driving by, you know, that would have been on Ella. Buddy almost shot my friend in the head, but he didn't.
There is a bullet still in the chamber that people didn't know about. It's unbelievable that people haven't. Unbelievable to me. First of all, just pulling a trigger in public or on a friend or whatever is to me just doesn't doesn't make any sense to me. It just does. I don't know.
I know. And this guy's like a good gun guy too. You know.
Hmm. Apparently not. I mean, yeah, even a good gun guy will make that mistake. That to me tells you don't ever. Okay, I'm not a gun guy, so I can't speak to this because I'm just not a gun guy. I don't know. I'm not anti-gun. You can have your gun. I don't give a rat's ass what you do. Just don't point it at me or mine. That'd be great. Larry is here. What's going on, Larry?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What do you say?
How you doing, Larry?
Yeah, well, I'm with y'all on that. I'm a combat vet. I mean, guns, people, I don't know, most deaths by guns are caused by accident. You know? But, man, I don't know how old y'all are. You could tell that's a different, y'all different cultures. Shit, I was born in the 70s. Black women will cut up. You got to understand one thing. That's a bankroll y'all messing with. That's a life. You know, you got a couple of Caucasian females like Lorraine Bobbitt that go all the way. But, and you see, that's another thing I got to say. That's social media. You got more of these fools get caught with that than anything else. Want to post in front of what you're doing. That's stupid. But that's the new age kids. I mean, not kids because Earl, he not no kid. But, yeah, I mean... Shit, girl messing with her money, what you think gonna happen? Somebody mess with your money, what you think gonna happen? What you gonna do? Just let them take your money?
No, well, I mean, okay. First of all, she was now what you say messing with her money, but not necessarily. You're talking about her, right? Okay.
Well, yeah, you're talking about Nina.
I don't know.
Nina says you ain't messing with my money. That's my money.
But that's only. His that's only her money getting messed with if he's going to leave her and you know what I mean? If he's messing around on her, that's how is that messing with her money?
Actually, isn't she going to get hers anyway? I mean,
well, depending on I don't know what the prenup is.
I don't know what their arrangement is. Yeah,
the way, I'm pretty sure Lorena Bobbitt was. I think she was Latina. I don't believe she was a Caucasian woman.
Oh, I don't know. Was she? I didn't know that.
You know what? No, I don't think she was Caucasian. She might have been Eastern European. I don't know. Maybe he's right on that one. I don't think
her being Latina sounds very accurate. Let me look that up for you.
She was, here it is. Lorena Bobbitt, nationality. She's Ecuadorian. She's got blonde hair now. So she's from Ecuador. 49. I remember that one. That is, yeah. That one, Ecuador. She did go all the way on that one.
Yep. That's hot-blooded right there.
I just stay out of the social media game. I stay out of the orgy game. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to go try to play one-on-one against my son in the driveway and try not to tear my knee. I've just got enough on my plate.
Well,
I don't need anything.
That's
more.
You. You ain't about the Thomas brothers.
No,
life, okay?
Yeah. No, I'm not trying to be. That's fine.
No. You just ain't about that life. Mm-hmm. So that's on you, though. I mean, okay. Old Thomas is saying, oh, yeah, guess who had more fun? You playing one-on-one with your son in the front yard or me with the orgy with my brother? Guess what? Winner. But this was the first time, obviously. This had never happened ever before with the Thomas brothers. They just decided, you know, on his birthday, the day before his birthday, whatever, hey, why don't we get some women? We'll all get together in a bed and just do stuff. It's a good plan. What do you
think? Listen, Blackland Distillery is not sponsoring that. I'm just going to let you know that right now. Although, okay, if you choose to buy Blackland and do what you want to do, that's fine. You can make your own choices. Just choose responsibly. That's all. Make wise choices. That's all we're saying. Do you think it's a wise choice, Bundesliga coming back May 15th, despite having 10 players test positive for coronavirus? It seems like to me they're basically saying, we're doing this. You either get on or get off, but Bundesliga's rolling on. Bundesliga says, well, y'all can do what y'all want to do, but Bundesliga's rolling.
Bundesliga sounds to me like a lot of people are sounding right now. What are we doing? Let's get back to work.
Will any Bundesliga player wear a mask during a game?
No, I don't think you can breathe and run like that.
I don't think so either. My biggest problem with the masks depends which one. The ones that are harder to breathe in, I'm assuming, are more effective, potentially. Do you think that's accurate?
I don't know that. I don't know. All I know is I don't see anyone running for 90 minutes in a mask. I just don't see it. I think there's, you know what they're saying? I think this is we're playing Russian roulette. Okay? That's what they're saying. And I think our odds are good. We're young, we're strong, we're gonna play, we're sick of this. Maybe a lot of the guys, maybe Bundesliga thinks that we're going about it the wrong way. Let's all contract social immunity or whatever they're saying. They're saying we're going to do this and whatever be damned. And we'll find out how it works. If they have to shut it down, if all of a sudden now, 20-30% of their league gets coronavirus, then we'll find out whether or not, hey, good call, Bundesliga, or you dumbasses.
That's going to be scary.
Yep. 927 ESPN 97.5. On the other side, Jason Whitlock is going at it, and it's all because of LeBron James. We'll talk about it.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hi, my name is what? My name is what? My name is
its name's Sadie.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, before we get to this Jason Whitlock story, anytime the Supreme Leader calls, we have to take his call. Kim Jong-un on a mobile is back, and he wants to talk about PD. Kim Jong-un, welcome to the show. Back to the show. How are you?
John! Lance! No, diamond is all costly. I heard you guys other day listing classic colors and your wife of PD. And he called today, make my day. So funny. I in hospital bed at the heart surgery. I invited my brother, and two chickadees, and I am better now.
This is Tyler. Yeah,
I know.
I like the one that says, I throw some, make some shade.
Oh, are these? Is this a different one?
This is a different one.
Yeah,
this
I'm not familiar with his work.
I'm not familiar with this work either.
Familiar with any of their works.
Well, I think this one might be an imitator. Pretty sure this wasn't the real one. But the earlier one, I'm throw some, make some shade. That's the real, and I keep hoping he calls back, but he hasn't ever since he throws some, makes some shade. So that's a little disheartening. And I think others are trying to duplicate, but, you know, they can't.
At first he said he wanted to talk about nothing in particular, and I was like, no, that's not going to fly. Let's at least put a subject on it.
Okay.
And that's what we got.
Okay. All right. Okay, so apparently there's a young man named Ahmad Arbery in Georgia, and there's video, a video evidence of a father and a white father and son who shot him as he was jogging through a Georgia neighborhood, and those two killers have not been charged. And there's a post, I guess it came out yesterday, and it's a picture of Ahmad, and it says, I was murdered by an armed father and son who hunted me down and shot me as I jogged in a Georgia neighborhood. Neither of my killers have been charged. My name is Ahmad Arbery. Well, LeBron retweeted that, and he said, we are literally hunted every day / every time, in caps. We step foot outside the comfort of our homes. Can't even go for a damn jog, man. Like, WTF, man, are you kidding me? No, man, for real, are you kidding me? I'm sorry, Ahmad, and my prayers and blessings sent to the, and so on. Well, Jason Whitlock retweeted that, LeBron's tweet, and says, this isn't helpful. It's Twitter trolling. It's using this man's tragedy to build a brand as more outspoken than Michael Jordan. There are all kinds of ways to draw attention to this tragedy. Suggesting that we are hunted every day, every time, is just bleep-stirring. Wow. And so it has started a huge, you know, Jason Whitlock, sometimes I give Jason Whitlock a lot of credit for sometimes standing up and saying the things that he actually believes as opposed to just ship-stirring, like he just said. Mm-hmm. And Kendrick Perkins shot back, so you're not trolling and making it about you? He's using his platform to speak out on a tragedy and making it about him. And you making it about him and MJ. Do better, big bro. Well, Jason says, do you believe we are hunted every day? Every time we step out, it's ridiculous. Unsophisticated hyperbole that promotes fear and emotion. Fear is the enemy of common sense, enemy of rational behavior. LeBron's tweet doesn't promote justice. It promotes emotion. Emotion improves nothing. Interesting. It's not interesting. And again, I've got a lot. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of LeBron's. I do like, you know what, you could obviously argue, and we talked about it the other day, how Mike didn't use his platform at all. But, you know, LeBron saying something like that, that we are literally hunted every day, every time we step foot outside, that is kind of fear-mongering, isn't it?
Well, I think it's obviously a little hyperbolic. You understand that, I mean, you have to be, unfortunately, there's not enough people who are nuanced, or they don't think as nuanced as they once did. Social media, what Jason Whitlock says about promoting emotions and all that, there's no question that happens. There's no question to people. I mean, for him to retweet and put his comments, that is his platform to comment on someone else's commentary. You understand what I'm saying? Everything on Twitter, everything on social media is about doing something for a group of people to see. So what Jason Whitlock is doing from that standpoint is not different than what he's talking about with LeBron. I do think that LeBron, in a very general sense, I think he does want to, I think part of LeBron, I'm not necessarily speaking to this, I just mean in a general sense, I think LeBron likes to be liked. I think he wants the likes and the retweets and all that stuff. That's why he puts so much stuff on social media. He's not really a private person. in terms of, you know, all the stuff he puts on Instagram and things like that, which is fine. I understand what Jason Whitlock is saying. I think to take LeBron's words, which are hyperbolic, but to take them at face value, like Whitlock is doing there, I think is a little silly, because you got to understand what LeBron is saying. And Jason Whitlock decided to take LeBron's words and treat them as though he's being highly specific. I don't think LeBron was being highly specific. I understand what he's saying relative to a lot of the incidents that we've seen over the last 3 to 4 years that have been on video, that have been captured on video. This one was too. I've seen the footage. I don't know if you have or not, John, if you're familiar with the case. So I think LeBron was making a comment. Is it hyperbolic in terms of what he's saying? Yes, there is hyperbole there, clearly.
Well, but to put the "we are," you know, as opposed to, man, what a shame for this family. It's just something that America, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, as opposed to "we are hunted." I get it. Here's the thing about it, though, and we've asked the question, too, is that how is LeBron going to respond to this Michael thing? Because, I mean, this thing with the younger generation, and it'll be interesting. Now everything that LeBron says, if you want to know the truth, is probably going to be thought of is in response to what's going on with Michael Jordan today, as opposed to LeBron owning this era. You know, Michael has reclaimed this era, has reclaimed it. And now everything that he says, did you see that the Jordan documentary is now past Tiger King for most watched?
Yeah, so imagine that.
Yeah. No. I mean,
Did anyone think Tiger King was actually going to be the number one forever and not Jordan documentary?
No, but it's pretty cool. It didn't take long, though. I mean, by the way, we're still in the pandemic and people are just craving. But that everybody is watching this thing, and it does shed light on LeBron, honestly, because he did own this era, and now he doesn't. And I think it unfairly.
Well, he still owns this era.
Unfairly that he is being accused of this is a look at me and not Michael anymore thing.
I thought that was a low blow by Jason Whitlock to try to put it directly with that. Do I think that now this is where he does differ? And this is, once again, regardless of what the specific tweet that you brought up, I think LeBron, in a very general sense, something that kind of has always stuck with me is when he wore the safety pin at the ESPY Awards for safe spaces. And he said, this safety pin represents safe spaces because people need safe spaces. And I thought, this seems kind of fraudulent. Like, this is like, now you're just playing to a millennial group that you want to, you know, I feel like LeBron is somewhat insecure for being such a mega star. One of the 10 biggest mega stars of our lifetimes that I can recall easily in entertainment. I truly believe that. He is a little, you do get the sense though that he likes the likes and the retweets, but that's his generation. A lot of people in his generation and really beyond, just people who are on social media, like that attention. He gets tremendous attention. If he was never on social media, he is going to never be able to get out without having some type of attention. I mean, the attention on him is going to be just massive. So I do think that he likes the attention on him, and he did the decision. We know about that. Yes, that is part of who LeBron is, and it is a turnoff for some people. Yes, I do think there are times where LeBron wants some shine from him standing up and being like, look at me. I'm for this cause or for that cause to an extent. It has nothing to do with his basketball. His basketball stands alone. But at the same time, Mike was, that's a negative on Michael Jordan for a lot of people, is that he was just so beholden to money only. Like, that is known as one of his weaknesses. So we can't just kill LeBron for that. I think it's a generational thing. If you grow up on social media, basically, and social media started for all intents and purposes in 08, that's when Twitter, I think, started cranking up and was really big by 2010, for example. Over the last 10 years, yes, LeBron had time when it wasn't social media, but this is just part of what it is now. This is a brand new, gigantic megaphone, And that's part of what – and so what Jason Whitlock is doing is taking what he said and offering commentary. What LeBron had was commentary. Now, yeah. Whether you want to – you know what I mean, John? Like, it's you're both doing the same thing.
They're both doing the same thing.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, he's trying to put LeBron in his place for maybe fear-mongering. I get it. I you know, and Jason Whitlock. But you know, just like – they're doing – absolutely, they're doing similar things. Who is it? Eric wants to talk about this LeBron situation. What do you say, Eric?
How you doing, guys? Shout out to Raheel if you're listening. Bro, we're going to miss you. And if I ever see you at the corner of 59 and Fodren with Baby Trickster, I'll give you a five. Don't even worry about what you put on the sign. Anyway, guys, we're talking about LeBron's character and his motivation. But we're not talking about the story of a guy that got shot as he was jogging through a neighborhood. Now, here's the thing about the person that commented on it, Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock is, okay, the character that Samuel L. Jackson played in Django Unchained, we know who Jason Whitlock is. He is exactly that guy. He got famous being that guy. He was the go-to to be the guy that would say something negative about someone in particular. Jason Whitlock is exactly that Samuel L. Jackson character in Django Unchained. That's him. We know him, and that's why we know that what he's going to say is going to have a certain bent to it. But we're not talking about the story of what happened. We're talking about LeBron's motivations, LeBron's character, and LeBron's ego. But that's not what the story was about. The story was about a man who got shot running through a neighborhood, okay? Alex Jones says stuff all day that's inflammatory. We hardly pay attention to it because we know he's a kook. But there's a lot of people out there who go to vote who believe what he's saying. Are we going to call him out as quickly as we're going to call out LeBron? Anyway,
oh, yes. Yes, we are. Alex Jones is a total... is a total dumbass.
Yeah, and I think people.
Anybody who follows Alex Jones is a dumbass. Hopefully that makes it clear enough. Alex Jones is a dumbass, and if you follow Alex Jones, you are a dumbass. I hope that makes that as clear as possible. I thought we were done with that dumbass, Alex Jones. I didn't think we had to comment on him. As far as the other thing, we were commenting on specifically, and Eric, I understand your point. I don't think John has, based on the way you brought it up, John, I don't think you had seen the video when you brought it up. So I'm not prepared to have a conversation with you about that, the whole thing, unless you have done all the background on all that stuff. And I think what happened is just horrific. I watched it, and I'm with you, Eric. We were speaking specifically about something in the sports arena, which is a commentator and an athlete.
That's not unlike at all what the Colin Kaepernick thing turned into. It turned into, instead of... you know, us talking about young African Americans being shot by police, we're talking about kneeling. And the whole thing, it took a turn because a celebrity, you know, I think maybe inadvertently, definitely having, you know, positive and good intentions, it took a turn, and we lost our core, we lost our way. And yes, this should be about that kid, that young man that was shot, and there's no justice for him. And instead, it turns into a discussion about LeBron. And instead, it turned into a discussion. It turned into an entire nation pulling against Colin Kaepernick, as opposed to what the whole damn thing should have been. And I think it's as in an ADD society. That's what we do.
Well, but it's also
it turns into more about the celebrity,
right,
than it does about the actual subject.
Well, the reason is because social media has ways of taking it and building upon it. And then number two, they are athletes. So then the filter changes from issue to issue inside of sport. And it's not anyone's fault inside of sport for discussing how it affects inside of sport. It's when you're no longer discussing inside of sport, but you're using the blanket of talking about sport. Like what Colin Kaepernick was talking about. Look, there's no way around it. I said this before, not on the show with you guys, but previously when it first happened. I mean, there's no way you can look at all of these things happening. I remember spending time at NFL Network with It was Bucky Brooks, Maurice Jones-Drew, and Robinson. I hear the music. I'm not going to get into it right now. I'll just do it on the other side.
All right, on the other side, right here. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I think we've touched a nerve here with this LeBron conversation. For those of you that didn't hear, LeBron tweeted out after a young man was killed in Georgia, shot by a couple, allegedly shot by a couple of white guys. Allegedly, I think there's video of it. I have not seen the video. You've seen the little video, Lance?
Yeah, I've seen the video.
You've seen the video.
Yep.
Apparently, and they haven't been charged, and it's a tragedy. But LeBron retweeted it saying that we are all hunted every time, every day we leave the house. And that sparked Jason Whitlock to respond to him. And it's also triggered some responses here. Chuck wants to talk about it. What do you say, Chuck?
What's going on, fellas?
I'd
just like to say everybody blames Jason Whitlock for making that comment, but LeBron didn't see the video of the people in Hong Kong getting really done bad. And when somebody in his own league says, we support freedom, he can't speak on it. But now he sees the video and he's hunted. LeBron's a corporate junkie. Everybody knows it. Rest in peace to that young man. But LeBron's a corporate junkie trying to get his money. He wouldn't say nothing about the Chinese, but now he's all about it again. That's all I got to say.
Well, he did say, and one of the things in fairness to LeBron, one of the things he did say was that, you know, he came out, it didn't look good. Then he came out and said, look, he finally said what he really meant was, look, I'm not part of that culture. That's not close to me. That doesn't resonate with me, the Hong Kong and China. Because I don't live there, and I don't deal with that stuff. He said, I deal with stuff at home, not abroad. So I don't know that I would compare. I get what you're saying, and I do understand it. I think there is a corporate element to LeBron the same way there was to Mike. I think they're the same way there is with anyone who has a lot of money on the line, et cetera, et cetera. They have to make that decision. But I don't know that I would compare the two things, Chuck. Because I think LeBron is going to care a lot more about one than he is the other. And one of them is actually at home. And, you know, it makes sense, John, that he cares more about what's going on here than he does in China and Hong Kong.
I don't know.
Hey, you know, conversely, there's a lot of people that took that opportunity who don't care about China and Hong Kong at all, except for the fact that they could go after LeBron. Let's just be honest about that, too. There's a lot of people who really? You're freedom fighters for Hong Kong, or is this just your opportunity to go after LeBron? Which one is it?
Right, right, right. No, absolutely. That's a whole nother conversation right there. Sebastian wants to talk about it. What do you say, Sebastian?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to say, man, RIP to Radio. Thoughts and prayers to his family for, you know, losing him or whatnot.
Hold on, just in case people are joining us, it's not RIP, which is rest in peace. His family didn't lose. The 97.5 family lost him, but Raheem is healthy and doing well. Yeah,
that's what I meant by family.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He's alive.
Okay.
Yeah, he is alive.
Sorry about unfortunately. Anyways, but yeah, I gotta agree with that last caller, man. You know, honestly, it's not even just about the corporate side of LeBron. I respect that. I honestly respect Michael more for on that aspect because, you know, he kept it to himself. LeBron right now, he comes off more phony than anything because, you know, aside from the comments that he made later on to clear it up, he did, one of the first comments that he did say about Daryl Morey's comments was, you know, that Daryl Morey getting taken into consideration the financial aspect of or the financial impact of his comments when he said that, when he tweeted that about Liberate Hong Kong. And, you know, for that reason, I respect Michael more, because it's like, yo, at least we know what Michael's intents are. You know, with LeBron and Les, he said, you know, that doesn't, you know, the things going on in China doesn't really affect him either. But, I mean, that whole thing about the safety pin, when has LeBron ever had to worry about having a safe space, you know?
Yeah.
How does that affect him, you know? And it's just everything that he says and everything that he did tells him from now on, to me, is just going to come off the top, because, it's, you know, people really were suffering over there, you know? And LeBron, I respect him as a black athlete and everything like that, and, you know, that community really does have a bunch of hardships, and we can't undermine that. You know, but he's been sheltered his whole life. You know, he was driving Hummers in high school. Like, he never really, everybody knew who he was since high school. That's not really an aspect that he's had to deal with. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's got to be a line right there. And to me, it's just everything that he says from now on, it just comes off as phony. You know, he really came off as he really showed his true colors when he said, you know, that Daryl Morey didn't think about the financial impact of his state towards Hong Kong. And that's all I got to say, guys. Right. Thanks for your show.
Right. Well, that's interesting, too, because during this Michael Jordan era, or this Michael Jordan thing, that's all Mike cared about was the bag. Hey, Republicans buy sneakers, too. You know, and LeBron being criticized for it, you know, caring about his bag. But hey, listen, Daryl Morey's comments affected a lot of people in the NBA, though. A lot. Yeah. I mean, the entire.
You can't get away. You can't get away from that. That is one. And why even tweet it is going to be, or put it on Instagram is going to be the other question. Like, why even put that on Instagram? But let me just now. LeBron. Okay. LeBron didn't have this easy childhood growing up. You're talking about he was well known from AAU circuits. He became nationally known by the time he was a junior in high school. Yes, but LeBron grew up in a pretty rough area. Of Akron, and so he wasn't sheltered as old. That's just not accurate. He wasn't sheltered his whole life, number one. I can't stand for there to be just misinformation. I feel like just put the information out there and then draw your conclusions or whatever. I just want to make sure the right information's out there. He was not sheltered his whole life. That's not accurate, Sebastian. Number two, I don't think you have to be individually, like, when did LeBron need a safe space? I don't like fronts when people try to gain cred and clout chase and all that. I'm not a fan of all that stuff. However, but you don't have to have gone through something individually for you to have an opinion or to speak out against it. So I don't think it's just because LeBron isn't hunted every time he walks out of his house or whatever the commentary was that upset Jason. Was it hyperbole? Yes. But if you get to what he's talking about, just because LeBron lives in a mansion and all this and that, and that doesn't mean that he can't speak out on things that really bother him or concern him. I don't think he has to have been shot or tased or wrongfully arrested or all that for him to have an opinion. I don't believe that you're only allowed to have an opinion, or we wouldn't be on sports. We didn't play professional sports. We have opinions on them. It's okay to have an opinion on something without having personally experienced
it. Right. Well, and again, he's polar. LeBron is polarizing. I don't think there's any question about that. LeBron is, and again, his motives at this very time. Anything going forward here now after this Michael Jordan documentary is going to call into question LeBron's ulterior motives, and this and the timing of this right here and right now is Jason Whitlock brought it immediately to the table. This is about Michael Jordan. When in all reality, it could very well not be. 9:58. Lance is you're done, and 10 o'clock now every day. Lance is going to be heading out. So just so you know, Lance is here till 10 o'clock now every day. AJ is going to join me on the other side right here today, and you know, we'll see what happens going forward. That's next right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.